Hey, everybody, it's Mike from The Mike Wagner Show, powered by Sonic Web Studios and brought to you by our official sponsor, The Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson's They're Missing, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. We're here with a terrific gentleman who is motivated and results driven profession with a passion for technology and also innovation. He was diagnosed with autism at the age of two, faced by people with doubts about his abilities, and he's going to show them how it is to be done. And he's a college student at Kent State University in Canton, Ohio. Is also an activist, sports writer, and also raising awareness about autism, help fight those for the rights of those with special needs. He also volunteer writer with the Sports Comms, since we're on that subject, and also studying to be a PR major. And what's that about? What's it going to be? Find out just 1 minute. Live, ladies and gentlemen, at Plus Studios in beautiful downtown Canton, Ohio, of Kent State University, the motivated, results-driven professional with a passion for technology, innovation, diagnosed with autism. He's an activist and wants everyone to be successful and how to overcome the odds. Let's listen to the story of the multi-talented Caden McElwain. Caden, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Micah. And you got to show me where to get that book. That looks like a cool book. What's the plot about?
Well, I'm going to tell you in just 1 minute, but first let's focus on you. First of all, you're a motivated and results-driven professional with a passion for technology. You basically innovation. You're diagnosed with autism at two, and you're told by people with the doubts you couldn't make it, but you're basically showing them how it's done, show you how I can do it. I mean, after all, you are a really good student at Kent State, straight A's and everything. You're a PR major. You're a college student, activist, sports writer for the sports column, and also raising awareness about autism, help fight for the rights of those with special needs. And, you know, let's carry on our project. And before getting all that, Caden, tell us how you first got started.
With the advocacy work, I first got started with a class project at Lake Erie College, where I was a freshman. I'm a transfer student. The assignment there was to make an impact on the community and act upon it. So my group and I decided on a GoFundMe for Autism Society of America, which is a really great organization. We raised $1,085 for that organization and won a contest with it. But unfortunately, I found, as typical with the TikTok generation, aka Gen Z, my group didn't want to actually do the project. They only did it to get the grade and the prize that we got for winning the contest, which wasn't anything too cool. Well, it was just some prize money to use at the school cafe area where you can get coffee and snacks, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that got me thinking. Congress isn't going to take autism awareness seriously enough anytime soon. Neither is the White House. Neither is the Senate. So I might as well try to bring this issue to their attention, because you don't see autism bills being passed. You see TikTok ban bills being passed and Draxo ban bills being passed, but not autism bills that actually help people. So, from that group project, my movement grew to me giving speeches, appearing on platforms like this, planning out more fundraisers, particularly for one of my favorite organizations in my county, Lake County Special Needs Birthday Club, which is basically a Make-A-Wish type organization that helps kids with special needs or adults with special needs have amazing birthday parties. And they get to choose which celebrities they want there, which musicians, which cartoon characters, that kind of thing.
Nice. You're going to get some football players too, especially from the Hall of Fame. So,
yeah, possibly.
Mm-hmm. And what's the name of that movement that you guys started?
I don't have a name for the movement in general. I just like to call it the movement of a guy who wants the world to be treated with kindness and for us to realize that we're all equal. And if we realize that soon, maybe the world won't be so divided. That a lot of my generation, who I heard another great term for my generation recently, the participation trophy generation.
That's a great term for it.
They like to talk about advocating for certain causes, but they don't really do it. They complain and whine and moan and groan and do all this, you're canceled. And I'm like, no. If you want to help, you got to make a movement, preferably legally, not committing any crimes. Particularly recently, I've been seeing on the news this protest movement of students not focusing on their classes and protesting on the front lines over a certain issue, which I don't want to say on here out of respect, but I found it absurd because those students have finals coming up. Therefore, they should focus on that, in my opinion. But I wouldn't say I'm any better. I attended one of those protests, so I'll say I'm just as guilty. But it's my stern belief that the number one focus should always be academics. And if you want to help out the community, go on platforms like this and speak your mind. And plan a fundraiser. Do things that are peaceful and positive, not whiny complaining, and not protest the apocalyptic animal-like behavior, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I was going to give a participation trophy since you didn't want it. I simply just threw it in the garbage. I'll just give it to somebody else who may not need it. Of course, you know, back in our days, it's like you never got a participation trophy. You just say, hey, thanks for joining. Thanks for participating. It's like, you know, better luck next time. You didn't get a trophy for it. So you just say, hey, you tried, you fell short. Thanks. And work harder. Do it again. We'll see you next year. I mean, that was the ethic that I was raised, not getting a trophy. It's almost like, you know, working for it. Now, you know, getting back to that as well, too, that you're also a sports writer as well, too. And tell us more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I started writing when I was 11 years old with some poems on the site called All Poetry. Of course, incognito for my parents, because All Poetry was more of a social media type site, and they weren't comfortable with someone under 18 going on social media. Yeah, and I've gotten caught multiple times when I was younger, and I've gotten chewed out by my parents during that time frame. And then when I was 14, I started getting into sports writing. And from there, thanks to my association with the Sports Column, which is a blog out in Maryland, I was able to get over 400 articles between age 14 and age 19.
Wow, amazing.
And, 4 features in newspapers for the TSC article of the week. And from there, the writing just grew. He made it grow into op-eds on autism awareness for a couple of sites, with another one in the works about how people with autism can do PR or homeschooling and my experiences with homeschooling during COVID as someone with autism. And I'm hoping to eventually get into political writing.
Okay. And what's your current stance right now in terms of the political scene?
Well, I'm in the middle. The election's coming up, and I'm interning for an independent candidate right now who's the first non-binary Black person to be running for the presidency. And they want to see major change in this country and to see the government actually help people. But if they don't get the presidency, I would say I would probably, and this might be controversial, but I would go for Trump and Republicans, not because of his behavior. He's a really bad person, but there weren't any wars under him. There wasn't any chaos. The economy was great. The only problem was COVID. Other than that, things were right in this country. Now we see protests on college campuses and wars all over the world. And it's honestly sad to see. It really is. Biden had the opportunity to unite people. Instead, he chose to further divide people.
Mm-hmm. How do you think they divided from your perspective?
I think due to ignorance on certain groups like people with disabilities, people with autism, race, sexuality. And just recently, they sued this gas station called Sheetz for racial discrimination because they didn't want to hire criminals and they required people to pass criminal background checks in order to even get a position. So I think the problem with Biden is, while his heart's in the right place, there's a better way to do inclusion and unity, not by discriminating against people and disrespecting companies who don't want to hire criminals, not by forcing DEI or X, Y, and Z thing upon people, not by raising taxes, just by urging kindness and respect and helping those who actually need help, like people with autism and special needs and homeless people. Those are a huge one.
Mm-hmm. As I was reading too, that even Skid Row has like their own suburb, was like 5,000, 10,000, 50,000. Now in Los Angeles, that's pretty much a suburb of Los Angeles. They even got their own mayor. That's how bad homeless has gotten.
Yeah, it's really sad to see the state of this country right now. It truly is.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, you talked about Biden and his stand on, disabilities and not hiring, people that have bad luck, criminal records and all that. I think Trump has handled the autism issue when he was when he ran his first term.
Even worse, particularly in that rally where he mocked that disabled reporter, if you remember what I'm talking about.
I remember. Yes, that's coming to light now. Yes, thanks for reminding me. That's coming to light.
Yeah, I remember that. I think this is a case of, as an associate of mine, Bill Ayers, put it, dumber and dumbest, or tweedledum and tweedledumer was the term he referred to both of the candidates. So I think this year we might see the first independent candidate in the White House in U.S. history. I really do, because I think no one likes either candidate this year, neither Biden nor Trump.
And I'm one of them. I don't like either candidate. So I'm with you right there.
Yeah, same. I think an independent candidate with fresh new ideas on how to handle everything would be a fresh start for this country. I truly do.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, more on that citizen as well, too, that you were detected with it and how you managed to get through as well, too. And more with Kaden McWayne out of Canton, Ohio, student at Kent State University. But first, listen to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios. Visit online at sonicwebstudios.com for all your needs. Look at a professional website without breaking your budget. Sonic Web Studios is the answer. Sonic Web Studios offers fast, affordable custom web designs at below the competition rate. Call today, 1-800-303-3960. That's 1-800-303-3960. Or email to support@sonicwebstudios.com. Mention The Mike Wagner Show. Get 20% off your first project. Sonic Web Studios, take your image to the next level. Also, time to give official shout-out to our official sponsor of The Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson-Zia. If you love fast-paced mysteries, you'll love Missing by Mia Molson-Zia, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing is fast-paced and intriguing with an unforgettable twist. It takes place in four countries, two strangers, one target, where truth is illusion and those who love beauty first go missing. It's available on Amazon, paperback, and ebook. Missing by Mia Molson-Zia has garnered great reviews and even loved and endorsed by Howard celebrities, including Joanna Cassidy, Forbes, Riley, Eminem. So grab your copy today for Girls Missing by Mia Molson-Zia, available on Amazon. Also, check out The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com or 40 podcast platforms heard in 100 countries, including Facebook, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Also, Anchor FM, Apple Music, BitChute, Rumble, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. Also on Podbean, list of notes as well, too. And take us with you on any mobile device. Follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and more. And for great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com. Check out The Mike Wagner Show podcast. T-shirts, pop sockets, throw pillows, tote bags, hoodies. Makes great gifts 24/7. Go to Amazon.com. Check out The Mike Wagner Show podcast. And for more great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com/MiaMolsonZia for great books like Missing, Once, and Wrinkles. Also T-shirts, pop sockets, hoodies, phone cases, and more. Amazon.com/MiaMolsonZia. Check it out today and support The Mike Wagner Show on Anchor FM, PayPal, and TheMikeWagnerShow.com. You heard the motivated and results-driven profession with years of experience. He's at Kent State University, Kaden McWayne here on The Mike Wagner Show. And you were born with autism at two. And maybe just give us a bit more of a journey about how first got detected, how did your parents handle, and how you managed to handle in this process up until now. Maybe a little bit of a journey as well.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, I was diagnosed when I was 2 years old. Coincidentally, after getting the smallpox vaccination, it of course didn't cause the autism. I just always find that funny, since that conspiracy theory is always floating around these days,
Right,
even
yeah.
more so.
Yeah, we were just asking about that, and I'm glad you cleared that up. So it's not always a vaccine. It could be some, could be DNA, and everything like that.
Yeah, I think there's two factors that come with autism or cause autism. I think that's DNA and the food we eat. I truly do. But I digress. After the diagnosis, which was early, so I was one of the lucky ones, my parents were wondering, what do we do? And they were more than motivated to help me live out my full potential as an adult. I'm 19 now, going on 20. And after my parents divorced, my birth mom and birth dad, my dad made sure that I had the best life possible. And then he married my stepmom. She too was in my corner, even when I didn't deserve it. And during elementary school, things were fine. I was just socially awkward, but I was popular there. But middle and high school, oh, that was a nightmare of bullying and teasing and being called the R word by some one, and overall unnecessary behavior and ignorant behavior from students. And my middle school, believe it or not, they cut off my IEP services completely without my consent and or my parents' consent, which one teacher said during one show I was on, they said that that was illegal, actually. And my parents weren't going to tolerate that as soon as they found out. So they wrote to every single autism organization they could think of, and a state senator to try to get that corrected, because they knew those services were a requirement for me to thrive. And as much as I despised those services, looking back at now, they actually really helped me out. I had them during the rest of high school, well, lucky for me. And then COVID happened. And as you know, the world shut down, everything was shut down, and everything was online and virtual. At first, I didn't like it because I liked the routine of going into the classroom. But as soon as I got more into it, I actually realized that you could concentrate better online, people with autism can. And there's no social distractions, no teasing. So I grew to love it. And then for a brief time, my senior year of high school, I was back in person. But after a COVID exposure and a bullying incident involving a student who was LGBTQ, where the school sat by and watched them get bullied and didn't do their job, I decided to go online fully, and I graduated early on Valentine's Day of 2022, right before I started
what
my first
love. I got to say that. They let you graduate on Valentine's Day. That showed a lot of love there.
Yeah, pretty much. But in the sense of how I reacted, at first I hated having autism. I wanted it cured, wanted a pill or something to get to go away. But after I learned about it and how unique it can be and how all these amazing people have autism, and after starting my movement, I've been learning to love it and embrace my gifts. I really have been, because autism is a wide range of spectrums. You have the higher end, which is what I'm on, which means you're extremely intelligent, but socially awkward, as I like to put it. Einstein was on the spectrum. Newton was on the spectrum. Friedrich Nietzsche was on the spectrum. He's one of my favorite philosophers. Daryl Hannah, Dan Aykroyd, Putin, he's on the spectrum too. Robin Williams was on the spectrum. Bill Gates was on the spectrum. All these amazing people were on the higher end of the spectrum. They have these rituals they have to follow. They have a routine they like to follow. Well, they're socially awkward, and they have fascinations with things. But unfortunately, there's also the lower end of a spectrum where people can't walk, people can't talk, people can't maintain themselves, and they have to be taken care of the rest of their lives. So my mission now is to see how we can make people who are on the lower end of a spectrum on the higher end. I think with today's technology, that could be a possibility.
So are you trying to bring the lower into the higher and the higher accept, or what about being on middle ground, like, you know, equal terms? It doesn't have to be like, you know, the low has to go to the high has to, stoop down a bit. Can there be a middle ground on this one?
Yeah, as I said, autism is a really complicated thing. So there's most certainly a middle ground that no one knows about yet. I'm still learning about autism during this journey of self-discovery I'm on. But my main focus right now is trying to advocate for not only helping all people with autism and special needs get what they need, but finding a way to make the people on the lower end of the spectrum who can't walk, can't talk, can't do any of that. And on the higher end, whether that be through simple therapies or through a pill or X, Y, and Z thing, I think with today's technology, like I said, we have those capabilities now. But like I said, the problem is the government is taking that cause seriously enough and focusing on petty issues like TikTok ban. And an X, Y, and Z thing.
Right. And do you think, having a platform promoting autism, is that still considered safe on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, or even like Threads?
Have I received threats? I did have one bullying incident live during a show I was on, Total Truth, which is a cool conspiracy theory type show. So where one person was trolling in the comments. And so doing a lot of religious scripture. And I called him out on the air. Aaron Bay said, just ignore him. He's a troll. And then he called us idiots. And we blocked him right then and there. And even if I got death threats or harassment or X, Y, and Z thing, I would probably say to the harassers, sorry, bro. No one's interested in your feelings. So stay away. Sorry. Because of. Those people are the ignorant people, and if they don't want positivity or unity or inclusivity, that's on them. That truly is. If it's a child who's spreading hatred and negativity and bullying, that's on both the child and the parents, because it's my belief that everything starts at home. If the parents are negative and hate certain groups or and are into people like Andrew Tate, Aid or Alex Jones, who spread hate out of wazoo, then the child's gonna spread hate because they think that's cool.
And do you think social media is, making autism understood a lot easier, or is it making it more difficult?
I think it's a mix of both because there are various autistic influencers who eliminate the stigma. One of my biggest influences right now is Sam Mitchell, who's a teenager with autism. The head of his own organization, Autism Rocks and Rolls. He has a podcast. He's done a TED Talk. He's talked with Dr. Temple Grandin, who I had the honor of talking with for a class project. I might talk with her again later on if I need something from her, because she's really sweet. But I've think the problem with social media as well is there's all these conspiracy theories about autism floating around and are still being fairly widespread. And some people try to sell cures for autism, like bleach pills. So
Oh
there's
my.
this one rapper dude who I have a problem with. I can't remember the name, but he's a Christian rapper and he tried to sell bleach pills that are claimed to cure autism. During the music video or something, and I take issue with that because bleach can be toxic. So if parents buy
Oh yeah,
into that and buy that,
that's
and
like taking snake oil.
yeah,
I've
then
never heard of that, but that sounds pretty dangerous. Bleach pills, yeah.
yeah, it is. It truly is. Yeah, so I think the problem. Oh, you can talk.
I was gonna say too that you share your experiences of success as well too. That I went through your sports column and it looks like somebody wrote an article about you that you were running in a cross country championship as well too. And I think you end up doing really well with that. So someone show you some love out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Just today, I had an article published in the college newspaper, Kent Wired, where I gave my perspective on Autism Awareness Month, which is actually this month, believe it or not. Oh, I've been advocating a lot during this month, but there's a lot of people who show me love and are appreciative of what I do, and it truly means a lot. And I think that alone helps to eliminate the stigma surrounding autism. But as I said, the problem with society is we can be gullible sometimes, hence why these conspiracies keep floating around that autism is caused by vaccinations or bleach pills can cure autism. So I think people believe it, and it motivates whoever's creating that conspiracy theory to create more and spread those around.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, get rid of the ignorance and everything. And how can people help?
Well, of course, to mainly get rid of the conspiracies, don't fall for them. If they sound too good to be true, they probably are.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the advocacy side of things. People can donate to various autism organizations, Autism Society of America, Lake County Birthday Club, those kinds of organizations. And I would say, go out and learn about autism, because it's still a complicated thing. As I said, I'm still learning. But I think if people learned about all these issues, like autism, race, sexuality, they'd be more accepting of it and more understanding. For on the school side of things, for teachers and school administration, I'd say do your job, help people with autism, and don't cut out IEP services without parental consent. And because that's potentially a violation of the Disabilities Act, maybe Title IX, from what I heard. For students, I would say be nice to people no matter what they're going through. Take a walk in their shoes and try to better understand. And not only that, for teachers, I would say if someone is diagnosed as being on the spectrum in your class, tell the class. It would avoid a lot of bullying and teasing from their part, because at least they know now why such and such student is so quirky or weird. Because they're just socially awkward because they're on the spectrum. And as for parents, I would say if you're a parent of a student who's bullying, tell them off right then and there, because they have no justifiable reason for that. And surround them with love, not just for the student who's bullying, but for that person on the spectrum. Love is definitely the key to better understanding autism and maintaining and determining the success of someone on the autism spectrum. I was lucky to have two amazing parents in my corner who helped me out even when I didn't deserve it at times. Mm-hmm. My cousin, who's also on the spectrum, but more on the lower end, wasn't so lucky. His aunt threw him out into the streets like garbage, wasn't there for him. So now he has a baby who he lost custody of, a wife who does drugs and has a bunch of kids from other men. And
oh, my gosh. Yeah, multiple fathers.
And,
that's not good.
Yeah. Arrest for animal cruelty. And he, from what I heard last time, he's on the run from Vermont police on that charge and heading to Alabama. Thanks to my aunt not being there firm and treating him like garbage. He's now a potential criminal. He can't find a job. He changed his name legally to 420J. And we all know what 420 means. So jobs aren't even an option anymore, or legally speaking. I think if my cousin had a strong support system as strong as me, then maybe that wouldn't be the case for him. Maybe he'd be as successful as I am. Maybe even a politician. He was into politics before all this drama happened.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. And of course, you know, speaking of success, you're on the road to it as well. And what kind of success? We'll find out with the amazing multi-talented Caden McElwain. You listen to The Mike Widener Show at themikewidenershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios, and brought to you by official sponsor, The Mike Widener Show, international warming author Mia Molson's Missing. We'll be back with the multi-talented Caden McElwain after this time. We're back, amazing, multi-talented Caden McElwain here on the Mike Wagner Show, and you talked about your activism for autism, getting people more involved, encouragement, and everything else. And you've got a bright future ahead, and you're studying to be a PR major. And tell us more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Initially, I was a technology major, but the fall semester was tough for me. I ended up failing a class, getting myself stressed out, being hard on myself, getting myself physically stressed. Sick because of stress, puking every night and crying every night because of the stress of that major. And music was always something I was passionate about, but performing arts wasn't an option for me because you have to be Lady Gaga or her Chief Keef or Frank Sinatra to make it big in the music industry these days. And AI doesn't help at all. All in that sense. So I figured the next best thing was to go on the PR side of music, the business side of music, of being a representative to an artist or a client or a record label. So my aspirations now are to go into the PR industry in music and politics. And then eventually, once I'm 50 years old and I've had my fun, hopefully I have a bunch of money, I'm planning on running for public office and eventually the presidency. I think this country needs the first autistic president in U.S. history. It would teach everyone to treat others with kindness and respect.
Mm-hmm. And we'll certainly vote for you, that's for sure, Caden. So you've got my vote on that one. So we're here with the multi-talented Caden McElwain here on the Mike Wagner Show, and a really great story about him and his autism and, you know, fighting, to acceptance and everything, doing a great job. And what else can we expect me in 2024 and beyond, Caden?
Well, this month I have a couple more platform appearances. So this month and a little bit into next month, I definitely eventually want to do a TED Talk. I submitted an application for myself for that ad. So my hero, Sam Mitchell, did a TED Talk on autism, and I'm hoping to follow in his footsteps in a way. And in June 21st, I have a go out and vote event coming up at Dairy Queen in Perry, Ohio, which is a random place for a voting event, but it fits because my boss said since I work there, I'll be working there this summer. He's down to do the voting event. I just can't have any political party endorsement, so which I obliged, and it's good because that's what we need, a nonpartisan event where we get people to register to vote, get them ready for the elections, and bond over ice cream, because we don't see that anymore. We truly don't.
I was just going to say, offer free ice cream or incentive. It's like, you know, buy one, get one free, whatever it is, get so much off on ice cream if you vote. I think that's a great idea. I like that.
Well, I didn't even think of that. I'll have to propose that with my boss.
There you go, and I'm sure they'll show some love at the Dairy Queen. I have to stop by over there. And, Caden, just a couple of things. Who do you consider biggest influence in your career?
I would say I have Friedrich Nietzsche, my favorite philosopher, who was on the spectrum as well. J.D. Salinger and his book, Catcher in the Rye, it's one of my favorites, and it relates to the society we're in these days. I've read it seven times. And I would say my family, particularly my dad, because they raised me, especially my dad, on a good work ethic and not accepting participation trophies and not being lazy, like how my generation is these days.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And like I said, I was going to give it to you, but I decided to throw it away or give it to somebody else, supposedly. And what's the best advice you can give to anybody at this point?
Keep spreading positivity and keep spreading kindness. And if someone tells you can't do something, don't give them the time of day.
You got that right. I think you just hit on the head, Caden. We're here with the amazing multi-talented Caden McElwain here on the Mike Wagner Show, our bright future ahead. Caden, a very big thank you for your time. You've been absolutely fantastic. Looking forward to having you again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. We'd love to have you back. And also, I forgot to ask you, what's your website? How do people contact you? And how do people simply get a hold of you?
Absolutely. You can follow me on Facebook at Caden Ronald, KadenRonalde. You can follow me on Instagram at 73 posts here. And you can check out my website at sportscom.com/KaneMacWayne.
All right, we'll certainly check that out. Once again, Kane, a very big thank you for your time. You've been absolutely amazing. Looking forward to having you again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. We'll love to have you back. Wish you all the best. And Kane, you definitely have a great future ahead of you.
Thank you, Mike.